Sometimes image, we get caught up in image, don't we? About what others think of us. And sometimes that plays a bigger part than other parts, other times. Like, I was out with Nico the other day, and I told him I was, thanks, Maury. I told him I was dieting. And sorry.
I'm not convinced that that is
really, I know, it's dodgy.
Something's happening.
Yeah? Okay. Anyway, I was out with Nico the other day and I told him I was dieting and he said, really? He said, I just saw you have 3 donuts. I'm not convinced either, Laurie. Hang on a minute. And I said, that's true. But I was thinking of having 6. get this thing right. Okay, here we go. So this morning I want to talk about image. I want to talk about we're being formed in the image of Christ. And it's kind of part of what our series is. We started a series last week about bearing, being and bearing the image of Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you missed last week's sermon message, it's on Facebook on our channel there, so have a look at it. But the series is important. Like, it talks about, like, it's really, really important that we understand who we are in the image of Christ, that we are made in the image of Jesus, because really that affects everything. It affects everything that we do. It affects everything that we are, affects everything that we speak about. How we understand our image is pivotal to how we live our life. And so not just about that, but it's not just about us. It's because then that affects every relationship we have. And that's what really the crux of it is. Like, how we get on relationally is directly connected to how we perceive and live in the image of Jesus within us. And then how we get on relationally with people who are in our spheres of influence but not part of our church family also directly affects how we perceive our image, how we're made in the image of Christ and how we bear that. And so last week we looked at the fact that we are worthy, an understanding about our worthiness, that He is worthy, and if we're made in His image, He's created us to be worthy and to reflect that image. And we talked about the 2 trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what happens when we sit under that tree and live from that tree is that we tend to have, we live from shame. We talked about if you don't reconcile your self-worth, you live from shame. And that's the imposter syndrome. We try and live as someone that we're not. We try and cover up. We try and protect. We try and blame. We try and criticize. We condemn. We find fault in other people rather than when we sit under the tree of life, we find connection, restoration, freedom, hope, all the things that God intended us to live in the fullness of His sense. And that's what Jesus came to restore, that image. We talked about last week thinking about which tree are we sitting under and which tree are we responding from or reacting from and living from. So this morning I want to talk about the fact that we are formed, this idea of being taking not just being the image but the fact that we are formed in the image of God. And talk about that kind of formation process this morning and how that helps us reflect the image of God and how that helps us further develop relationships with other people. So let's go back and just have a look at what Scripture says about us being formed by God. In Genesis 2 and chapter 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." The Hebrew meaning of form is to form or to fashion, to create or to be formed in that. So just as we stop there, I just want to just pray and just give thanks to God for who we are in Him, that as we look at that further, we'll have eyes to see that. So Jesus, just come this morning and form within us a true picture of who You created us to be. As Your word goes forward this morning, bring that picture to light. Just like You breathed life in breath into human form, breathe that picture into our minds and our consciousness this morning, that we might see with clarity who You formed us to be. and who you're forming us to be ongoing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In the Psalms, there's lots of references to us being formed. Psalm 103, verse 14, for he knows how we are formed. God, he knows how we're formed. And in the psalmist in Psalm 119, it's talking about God's hands made me and formed me. God's hands made me and formed me. And in Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, the psalmist is going, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was even born. This is my mum, Elaine. Soon to be revealed. Can you guess what her middle name is?
Joy.
Spot on. Elaine Joy. God made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. She's 90. She's had a long life. She had her own formation. And in her mid-years, middle life, she found Jesus. Through a neighbour next door who invited my parents to come to a thing at church, and they just decided they should go. And in that space, they found Jesus. Before I was born, thankfully. And I grew up in that context. And when God created me and you, he formed something scripture says wonderfully complex and marvelous. Thank God for mothers who were instrumental in God's formational processes within each one of us. And so not only that, not only did we be formed physically in that sense, but we were also formed spiritually. This idea that there's a spiritual formation process that's going on within each of us. And so we're formed by God physically and also spiritually. Further on in verse 16 of Psalm 139, it says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. In other words, before we were formed, God already had a design of what our lives would look like. Many of our mothers and fathers help shape that formation, and many of us who have kids still today are shaping the formation of our kids today. Both my mum and dad shaped much of who I was and it helped with that spiritual formation process. As I said, my parents became Christians in their midlife, so I grew up in a Christian home. We went to a church just around the corner, Ingleburn Baptist Church, and so that was kind of the atmosphere and the culture. And at that church, my mum and dad, and particularly my mother, was pivotal in my spiritual formation, more so than my dad, because my dad was left home at the crack of dawn and didn't get home till after dark most days. So it was my mum that was around for most of the time when I was early in the morning or afternoon at school or in the days. And so when I was just kindergarten, my mum said, there's a guy coming to church. He's doing a kids club. It runs for 5 days. It's after school. You should go. So I went, and it was there where I gave my life to Jesus for the first time, through a guy who was a ventriloquist and had a puppet called Charlie. I gave my life to Jesus through Charlie. And then there was a thing called Boys Brigade at church. And so also, my mum and dad said, you should get involved in that. And I was like, that's a good idea. And I got involved in this thing called Boys Brigade. And I was thinking about that in terms of my spiritual formation. In Boys Brigade, it's kind of like Scouts, but it's a Christian version kind of that. And you do these award things. So you do adventure awards, camping awards, drill, physical stuff. And you also do Christian awards. And some of the Christian awards, you had to learn scripture. And so you had to learn bulk, stacks and stacks of scripture, the higher the level you went. I recount today my memory of scripture is back to those days that spiritually was formed in me through Boys Brigade. That's where I learnt most of my memory of scripture, that I've just remembered that from those times of memorizing, doing all these different exams and Christian Endeavor and Boys Brigade at church. That was part of my spiritual formation. And then in year six, my parents gave me the opportunity to go to either a selective school just 10 minutes away up the road, or to go to a Christian school that was just starting. Christian schools were just starting to emerge. And I said, actually, I'd like to go to a Christian school. And again, that was part of my spiritual formation. So there were all these things that started to happen. Not just I was physically forming, but I was also spiritually forming. And my parents were creating an environment for that to take place. It's a kind of little snapshot of that in scripture with Timothy's example. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6, Paul is saying about Timothy, he's saying, I remember your genuine faith. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. Here's Timothy's grandmother Lois. Who I don't know who her grandmother or parents were, but Lois had a faith in Jesus. And she formed that in her daughter Eunice. She imparted that to her. She created an environment where that was passed down from one generation to the next. And then Eunice, the mother of Timothy, then imparted that to Timothy. And she created an environment where that spiritual formation took place again in another generation, generation to generation to generation. And here's Timothy now replicating that in his ministry everywhere he went. And we're recipients of part of that today. We read those letters and we gain from that. We spiritually form from that. It helps us understand about what Jesus is calling us to do. And so thinking more about the spiritual formation, there's this process that takes place where we are formed in a sense already, but we're also in the process of being formed. And there's this kind of good tension in that we're formed in the image of Jesus. We're created already. We have a whole stack of stuff in our DNA, and now there's kind of like a pulling up or a raising up of that stuff that's in us, kind of coming into blossom, coming into bloom. We're in this process of those things starting to blossom in our life as we grow and as we mature. There's more of that formational process that's taking place. It's a process that never ends until we die and reach the fullness of perfection that we were created for in Jesus. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, my dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. So he's talking about this idea of there's a painful process of Christ being formed in us. We're learning, we're growing, we're developing, we're forming. In Psalm 119:73, David says, your hands have made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. Here's David, who just read some of his words in Psalm 139. You've formed me, you've made me, I get that. But now help me understand how to develop out of that place of being made and formed. Help me understand your ways. Help me understand your commands. Help me understand what it is to enter, to step into this process of spiritual formation. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, and we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we're being transformed into the image of Jesus. Each day we're being transformed into the image of Jesus. I was laughing at, I like to watch little bits and pieces of Carl Barron. He's a comedian. I don't know if some of you have seen him or like him. Anyway, he's just talking the other day about you kind of, as you grow older, you kind of look in the mirror, and some days you kind of look in the mirror and go, oh, yeah, cool, you look awesome. And other days you kind of look in the mirror and go, what the? It's kind of this idea about we kind of look sometimes about the different image that we have, and sometimes we like the image we see, and other days we can't behold. Who is that? Look, staring back at me. We're scared by the image, or we're upset about the image of that. And here's kind of Paul kind of saying that we are being transformed every day into the image of Jesus. It ought to be that we ought to be able to look in the mirror and go, see that? that's different today than it was yesterday. Jesus did something there. You don't kind of notice that stuff ongoing. It's like kids growing. You kind of like see someone's kids and they're little and you don't see them for 6 months and you see them again and then they're, oh, who's this? That's my kid, just grew. Oh, that's right. And so we don't sometimes notice the things that happen within us over every day, but over time there's growth that takes place. So it's a process. We have to be patient and give ourselves permission to allow God to do what he wants to do, and that transforming takes time. So the question I want to kind of leave us with this morning is, how will I allow myself to be spiritually formed? How will I allow myself to be spiritually formed? See, because spiritual formation is about being a follower of Jesus Christ. It is about being made in his image, and then it is about being a bearer of that image. And so the idea of formation is that our lives form us. The things that I believe form me, and the things that you believe form you. And that's why we, going back to last week, if we believe we're not worthy, that'll form us in a certain way. That's not the plan and design of the image of God. And if we believe we're worthy, that'll form us in another way that aligns with the plan and the image of God. So our beliefs are really, really important about what we think, what we believe, because that's what forms us. We like to think that we live independently. We like to think that life is all about our own doing and our own forming. I've got this. I've got it under control. I'm sorting it. Where in reality, we are being formed every day by the people and the things around us. We're being formed by the social media that we consume. Images, expectations, comparisons. It's like today, like, it's if you don't post something about your mum today on Facebook, it's not real. It's like you haven't really honoured your mum unless you post it on Facebook. It's kind of like if something happened, we have to declare it, or it's forming us, or we're consumed by the games we play on our phone, on our phones, the things that we watch on TV or Netflix or other things. We're formed by the people that we live with, including and especially our families. So it's not a matter of if or when we're being formed. It's a question of what and who is forming me. What is forming me directly affects my image bearing of Jesus Christ. Some questions to help us think about how we're forming is this. Who am I? Who am I becoming? Who do I want to be? Who or what is forming me? I challenge you to answer the first question without any reference to career or occupation. Who the heck are you? We talked about last week with Ash Barty. She had to find who she was. Her real self, her true self. And that's a question we all have to answer. And it doesn't come with career. That's not our identity. That's just something we do. So Paul encourages us to think about this as we think about our formation. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will." I like how the Passion Translation puts it in a little bit of a different nuance. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. You see, the world has patterns. It has patterns of forming and conforming. It has a lot of rules, most of which are unspoken, about how you get accepted and belong. And they're not God's idea of how we should be formed. Paul exhorts us not to conform to those patterns of the world, but to be transformed by what we believe. We only grow, I want to suggest, when we're stretched, stressed, or out of our comfort zone. We don't normally grow when things are all going really, really well and we're on a high. We grow in those places where we look in the mirror and go, what's going on? I don't like what I see, and I don't like what I'm about to step into today. Or I'm stressed out about that, or I'm struggling to handle that or cope with that. It's in those moments, if we're able to, where we can identify, what am I believing in this moment? And who am I? And who do I want to be? And who am I becoming? Once we can identify that stuff, there's a place where we can find growth. So too often we just take the easy path to conform, and we surround ourselves with people that we know are going to say things to us that we want to hear. They're not necessarily going to confront us or give us feedback that's honest, or say, like, are you okay? You look crap today. In a nice, loving way. People who are going to input into our lives in a way, rather than just reinforce what we want to hear, so we just stay in this place where we don't grow. An addict doesn't need someone to say to them, you're okay, mate, you're doing well. An addict needs an honest conversation about reality. And we need others around us who are different. We need to develop healthy relationships with others, because the reality is we cannot grow relationally without relationships. It's funny about that. If we want to grow relationally, we have to be in relationship with other people, which means we have to be stretched into our comfort zone, and we need other people around us. Spiritual formation doesn't happen in isolation. It actually happens in community. If I think about my own story, I'm the youngest of five siblings. Lots of spiritual formation happened, passed on from older brothers and older sisters to little Rob. I think about my family and the things we did and the Christian environment that my parents created and the atmosphere. And I think about children's leaders in Sunday school and kids' camps and crusades and people like that that invested and inputted into my life. I think about Boys Brigade leaders who met every week and invested into me and took me away on camps and taught me things and taught me about life and stuff like that. I remember youth leaders or school teachers that had a pivotal influence on my life. I think about leaders who were on camps that invested into me, pastors at churches I've been involved to, other fellow Christians. I think about authors of books that I've read who have impacted me by their writings, or conference speakers who I've sat under, or movies that I've watched. Incidentally, saw a great movie this week called The Jesus Revolution. It's showing, the closest cinema it's showing here is at Beverly Hills. It's awesome. Should go see it. It's all about the actual Jesus Revolution that happened in the late 60s. And the things that came out of that, yeah, amazing. You'll be encouraged and your faith will be lifted and you'll leave going, the gospel is really good news. Anyway, that's aside. Or other voices in my life that have spoken into my life at different times, either prophetic voices or other people that have just been in relation, or my church family at different times just speaking into my life. You see, spiritual formation happens together. And that's why this whole thing is so important. We can't isolate it. That's why we need each other. It doesn't happen on Zoom as well as it happens in connection, as being live, as being relationally, as being deep, as being true, in small groups of being honest conversations and developing that, listening and encountering the presence and the voice of God to allow him to form and transform me, and then to continue to do that and to shape me into his design for who he created me to be right back in my mother's womb. So understanding our spiritual formation actually awakens us to understand more about the nature and then the image of God. And not only that, then it helps us to bear that image in relationship with others. Relationship then with people become actually opportunities to learn and to grow. When we sit and have coffee or catch up, it's actually that opportunity to say, I want to hear from you because you carry something that can impact me spiritually in my formation. What is it that you carry? And in that sense, then we begin to honour one another and celebrate one another and spur one another on to be the people that God created us to be. That's a process of spiritual formation. We're formed by God. We're formed not just physically but spiritually. We're in this process of spiritual formation. So how do we allow ourselves to be spiritually formed? Answer the questions, who am I? Who am I becoming? Who do I want to be? And who and what is forming me? Remind you again of Paul's words in Romans 12. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. My prayer for us is that we allow God to empower us in our discerning of His will for our life. The goal, as put in that version, is that the goal is a beautiful life, to live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. I don't know about you, but I'd rather live a satisfying, beautiful life, even though it's hard, than live a comfortable life, just trying to do my own thing, that's just trying to survive. That's a picture, beautiful life, satisfying, perfect in His eyes. That's a picture and vision that we need for spiritual formation. That's that idea that the psalmist caught when he says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. Invite our worship team just come and join me. We sang a song, it's called No Longer a Slave. I want to finish with that this morning. And this idea that it starts with the line, you unravel me. And that's the whole kind of idea about this idea that we're being unraveled at the same time we're being formed. We're being unraveled with things that the Lord didn't design for us to be caught up in. And as we unravel them, we experience freedom to step into the things that God did want us to be caught up in. That's what it means to be a child of God, to walk in the freedom that He created us to be and the fullness of that. So let's celebrate that today as we worship, to put kind of around that. And let me encourage you to be thinking, what is God saying to you this morning about forming, or Him forming Himself in you? What is He saying to you about your spiritual formation? What is He asking or inviting you to step into? Maybe it's an answer to one of those questions today. Maybe it's something practically that you know you need to do to shape or sharpen your alignment with that. But whatever it is, listen to the voice of the Spirit today. Be awakened to that and step into that with boldness. Thanks, guys.